Today I'm preaching on Acts 2:1-14. Joy allowed me to preach on Pentecost because I'm preaching on May 23rd on Pentecost. And so this is my sermon. My proclamation is everyone has a part of the Jesus story to share. Today is Pentecost. It's often referred to as the birthday of the church. It's the day things really got rolling. The disciples were waiting to see what would happen next. They had spent the last 3 years hearing Jesus say, "The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is within you." Jesus painted vivid word pictures about a peaceful, loving, healing, nourishing, joyful, just, and inclusive kingdom. The Roman government, on the other hand, used intimidation and the fear of death to control people. The religious leaders used their rules and the fear of exclusion from the temple. Jesus said those fear-based rules and systems were passing away. Jesus was introducing God's rule to the world. He claimed to know a better way. As they would say in the old Western movies, them's fighting words. And just before he had left, Jesus reminded the disciples that they were now the ones who got to tell the world this revolutionary news. I think they must have been totally freaked out. They didn't say, "Sure, Jesus, let's go, we've got this." Instead, just before this scripture in Acts chapter 1, they said, "Is now the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus must have slapped his forehead at that question. They still weren't getting it. Or maybe they got it, but they just didn't know how to go about it. Or maybe they were just plain terrified. I can imagine the conversation after Jesus left to go back to heaven. What does he mean we're supposed to go to the ends of the earth? Just how far is that anyways? How do we do that? I've never even left Israel. They're all Gentiles out there, you know. How do we even start talking to them? Let's just ask Jesus if we can stay here and wait for God to show up and restore the kingdom to Israel. You know, the good old days. Have you, like the disciples, ever been given a job that seemed absolutely impossible to do? A job you were completely unqualified for, or were terrified to even attempt? I have. Remember that first day on your new job, or that first day starting a new school, or starting a new stage in life, like getting married or having kids? Grant has a picture of me holding our infant daughter, Jennifer, a few days after she was born. The look on my face says it all. What the heck do I do now? Try to imagine what it would have been like to be one of the disciples. You have just been given a very dangerous and world-changing message to spread. What would you have done? Run and hid? Said, "No way." Said, "I don't think this job is for me." Referred them to the professional Christians? Or handed them a book and said, "Here, read this." You know, like that time your kid asked you where babies come from? There's no need to imagine. We have the same world-changing news to share. The world has not changed much since Jesus' time. We still live in a world system that claims that the way to win is by acquiring money, wielding power, and instilling fear. But Jesus claims that another way works better. It works God's way. The way of freedom, generosity, humility, justice, forgiveness, and love. We are the disciples of today. The call of Jesus to spread the good news did not end 2,000 years ago. His call was not just for a group of special people who ended up getting their names in the Bible. His call is for us too. What are we going to do? We know that the disciples actually did get out there and tell the world about Jesus. Otherwise, we would never have heard about him. So where did the disciples get their courage to get out and get going? What did they do? Well, first of all, they gathered all their fellow believers together. Then they prayed for guidance and strength. And then they waited and trusted that someone would show up to tell them what to do next. The day of Pentecost finally came, and the Holy Spirit showed up. She showed up like a roaring wind and tongues of fire. She filled those gathered there with everything they needed, everything Jesus had promised, courage and comfort and a message. She lit them on fire and gave them words to speak in languages they'd never spoken before. They burst out of that house and started telling everyone what had happened. Outside the house, a ready-made audience was gathering, wondering what was going on. Nothing like this had ever happened before. People were astonished. I bet there was a near riot. The disciples were also astonished. Suddenly, they knew what to say, and they had the courage to say it. Peter, who a few weeks before didn't even want to admit that he knew Jesus, stood up and started preaching to the crowd. And what a crowd it was. Over 3,000 people heard the good news that day and changed their minds about the Jesus way. I imagine it was like this. Maybe the Jews from Greece gathered around John, who suddenly discovered he could speak Greek. Maybe there was a group around Arabic-speaking Matthew, and a group of women around Mary Magdalene, who discovered she could suddenly speak perfect Egyptian. The disciples then remembered all the things Jesus had taught them. They remembered the stories and the lessons and the way he made them feel and the picture he painted of God. Suddenly, they had a lot to say. And the people who listened remembered the stories of the wonder-working teacher named Jesus. They had wanted to believe his stories about a new kingdom coming, but their hopes were dashed when he was arrested and killed. But the miracle of Pentecost convinced them that the rumors of the resurrection were true. Jesus was alive in a whole new way. Death could not hold him. His claims were true. Love was stronger than death. They didn't need to fear death anymore. The power of the Roman Empire and their religious leaders were stripped away that day. It wasn't long before the good news of the kingdom of God was spreading throughout the whole known world. The disciples took off on mission trips. The people who became new believers that day stayed around and learned more about the Jesus way, and then they went off on mission trips. They went home and told their families and friends back in Crete and Mesopotamia and Pamphylia and Phrygia about this new way. Good news travels fast. I have more good news. You have good news to share. Inside the bigger story of the good news about the Jesus way, you have a story to tell. You have a part in that story. Jesus has done something in your life that has made all the difference. Someone else needs to hear that. You have something worthwhile sharing. Someone is going to show up in your life who needs a word of encouragement or hope or freedom that only you can give. And you have a particular language to speak. You may not speak Hebrew or one of the local Blackfoot dialects, or Greek, or French, or Ukrainian, but you have a language to speak. You have the language of your life experience, your training, your workplace, your age group, your passion. You have the language of your region, your country, and your neighborhood. You have a story that only you can tell. What is your story? How has God helped you through a crisis or a trial or just life in general? Have you survived grief or illness or even just supervising online schooling with your kid? How did your faith help you? That's your Jesus story. How has God moved in your heart to speak out in the past? Are you someone who sees injustice in the world and just has to say something, just has to do something? That's your story. Are you a scientist? Do you find incredible beauty in the structure of the atom or the human body or in the way earthworms work through the soil? Do you see God's fingerprints over all creation? That's your Jesus story. That's your language. Do you find God's presence in our church? Do you love the prayers or the hymns? Does God speak to you through worship or through the teaching? That's your God story. All of these stories are part of the bigger Jesus story that the disciples were commissioned to tell. Death does not have the last word. God is with you. You are not alone. The Jesus way of justice and love is the real way to live. You, like all the disciples, have a story to tell. And God will give you the courage and the opportunity to tell it. God will show up in your life. Take some time to pray about it. Wait a while. Watch for opportunities. When they come, you will know. Maybe the Holy Spirit will feel like a strong wind blowing you in a certain direction. Or maybe the Holy Spirit will light you up with words of love that you can't help but speak. Or maybe the Holy Spirit will look more like a slow, warming friendship that leads to sharing deeper things. What is your language? What is your part of the Jesus story? Who are you going to tell?